I'm on the phone with Jerry from Colorado. Thank you for helping us out.
You're welcome.
Often in treatment, I use a football metaphor, which goes something like the person with an anxiety disorder is playing defense. Defensive secondary. The thinking goes something like, when are they going to run the ball my way? Or when are they going to throw the ball my way? Which translates into, will I get anxiety in the challenge situation? Will my adrenaline be there? So my goal is to enlist the patient in the process of becoming the quarterback, because there's absolutely no way that one can resolve an anxiety disorder by playing defense. The quarterback may throw an interception, make a mistake, or drop the ball, but he takes responsibility for creating motion. That's an integral component of any really productive treatment. And I think that you're a great example of making the transformation from defense to really being a great quarterback. So could you describe the problem when you first entered treatment?
When we started, I think it was, as we talked through, I mean, these concepts weren't, I guess, known to me in the beginning, but a lot of it was obsession about the anxiety, so overthinking it and overanalyzing it. And, you know, I think it's just as normal events in daily life got near, which are normal to everybody else, but when you have anxiety, they seem to be bigger than they should be. I would overthink it and overanalyze it and pick it apart to death. And so, you know, if it was like a date or a meeting or something that would happen, say, on a Friday, that whole week would be consumed with overthinking it. It would just compound and really be out of control.
Give some specific examples.
I think the initial thing which ultimately led to trying to get to treatment was, at the time, I was seeing somebody, dating them, and going out on a date or going to a movie, taking a day trip somewhere, led to me overthinking it to the point of, you know, if I mess up, if I embarrass myself, will this be the end of the relationship, or could they, will they not like me? Well, what would they think if I do these little things? You know, to the point where we wouldn't go out and do things, we wouldn't be as active as we should be, and ultimately at the time it led to the other person not being happy in the relationship. There's other things we learn later on, but that's what was the initial problem, where I would avoid doing things that I knew that, no, I wouldn't say normal people, but people in everyday life would do. But I would avoid them.
Okay, you would avoid these situations like going on the date with the person that you were involved with, mm-hmm. or other anxiety challenges because you feared exactly what?
I think it was a multitude of things. One, being embarrassed, what people would think about what I did or said. You know, if it was a professional situation, I was more confident, but you know, what would happen if I didn't maybe say something smart, or what would happen, even to the point of what would happen if something embarrassing were to happen to related to the anxiety.
Like, for example?
You know, being so, I guess, overwhelmed with anxiety that I'd have to leave the room, or I'd have to take a break, and so the symptoms which, you know, being a little bit sick in my stomach or things like that, I would generate these anxiety issues. I would overthink it and worry that maybe somebody else would pick up on it. Maybe they can see it develop, which is ridiculous, but because they can't. But, you know, you would think that maybe they could see, I guess, my insecurity or that I'm not what this person would expect, and they would judge me on that negatively or embarrass me or do something mean, which led to me overthinking it and overanalyzing and trying to pick apart every little situation, which now that's not a part of my thinking, but back then it was, it consumed me.
Okay, you're talking about the obsessive content, the obsessive worry that bred the anxiety, mm-hmm. which was a driving force in your overall anxiety problem. Mm-hmm. How was this anxiety issue impacting your overall life?
I would say pretty drastically. Socially, I was not happy. I mean, I was seeing somebody, but you know, I guess in a way I really wasn't seeing them at the time. It was impacting relationships, and then after that relationship ended, before that relationship, I really wasn't that outgoing and seeking to meet new people. Again, at the time when we started, it wasn't going out, and as you say, creating those opportunities for jobs or careers. I mean, at the time, I had a pretty good, which I enjoyed, a pretty good job, and due to some situations, I didn't have it, but I wouldn't go out and create new opportunities. So it was really, I would just say I was stuck in neutral. Not
okay, I don't mean to lead you too much, and you know, please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But would you say that when you initiated treatment, you were depressed?
Oh, yeah. I think at the time I didn't know it, but I was certainly depressed. I knew something was wrong, but I guess I didn't really know it.
Okay, now for the sake of relativity, I like to do this with everybody that I interview. So when you started treatment, you were at a 1 on our famous 1 to 10 scale. What number would you give yourself currently?
A 9 or 10. I mean, as we talked previously, I look over the time it was spent, and I'm not even, it's hard for me to recognize that same person. Not because it was such a turnaround, but I think more it was just an improvement of the person that I was versus what I wanted to be. But I think in a good way was I didn't allow myself to be that person now that I am, and the same challenges that I had back then, they aren't stressful and they don't consume me. I don't overthink them. You know, those opportunities that we talk about a lot, and you have to create those opportunities. Whereas in the past, it would be being scared of taking that next step or that jump and being afraid of what's the unknown out there. And now it's different. Sometimes you just have to make the jump without knowing where you're going to land.
Okay, well, we're prepping for the most important question here. Now, I know that's a really good number, a 9, 10. Okay, we'll round it off to a 9.5. And I know that you're seeing someone else other than the person you used to obsess on, and you've gotten a master's degree since I know you,
mm-hmm.
and your quarterback efficiency rating, going back to that metaphor, is really high as you become an entrepreneur.
Right.
So here, and you did this without medication. I want the audience to know that.
Right.
So here's the question, because I want the listeners to get insight more than positioning this interview just as a testimonial. Obviously, you were involved in treatment with me, and we did it over the telephone because you're in Colorado, I'm in Long Island.
Right.
How did you achieve the success with your anxiety resolution?
I think, you know, it came down to the will of wanting to overcome it. It was that simple. I think that I was so unhappy with the way I was when we started that I never, and I think we've talked about this a lot throughout treatment, but I don't ever want to go back to that, the way I was. You know, being scared in certain situations or being over anxious, it was miserable. And, I approached the sessions as work and that I have to do things, and some of the things were not not fun or always easy to do, but I knew if I could push through that, then I would get better and more, I would feel better and my life would get better. And I think the secret was just the will to do it.
Okay, well, let's get, I don't mean to interrupt you, but let's get beyond will. Let's now here comes the quarterback challenge of this interview. Let's make believe that you're in a position of, you're the teacher for the next couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jonathan teach you that if you were in the teaching position, what would you want to teach people who are listening to you about how to overcome and control and take charge of this anxiety? What did you learn? What are the key points that you learned?
I think the first thing was, I think the first thing, it goes back to what we started with the analogy of the quarterback. I think the first thing is you have to flip around thinking from, you know, you said in a way, waiting for something to happen, waiting for that. You know, you're waiting for a miracle, like somebody's going to come out and save you and you know, give you a magic solution to all these problems. But the real solution, and it's not, you know, impossible, and I don't think you have to have this huge, some fortitude to have willpower. It's just you have to start doing something, being proactive, and it comes down that simple. Whether when we started it was, you know, going out and being more social in situations that I was over-anxious about, and it was just as simple as that when we started, or you know, when I was looking at master's programs, it was, you know, as tough as going and talking to the dean, where, you know, even at that point, we've talked about this, it was a huge effort. I downplayed it, but I did it, and as we worked through treatment, it was giving myself credit for doing something that...
Okay, so that's an example. Giving yourself credit.
Mm-hmm.
That's an example of self-acknowledgement, which is a component of nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to list a couple of clinical points that I tried to teach you in therapy and just comment on them for a moment. Okay. Self-nurturing is an example of one of the mind states that needs to be developed along with the adult and the natural child. Did this strategy of the mind state development, did this help you?
Yeah, it did. I think as we talk, I think it also gave a visual and put it in a perspective where, you know, again, at the beginning, it was overly critical and not giving myself any credit for anything and just finding those things which would be wrong or bad or negative. And then, as it switched, it was more belief and trust and having that positive attitude of myself, which that's what flipped. And in the process, you know, the anxiety lowered, the critical scripts, as you say a lot, that decreased because I was giving myself credit for the little things. To the point now where I look back at where we started, and I'm proud of what I've done. I'm proud of it. You know, it wasn't easy, but I'm proud of it. And, you know, as you say, just that acknowledgement is part of the solution. And it's part of you know, why I'm let's say 9.5 versus still stuck in neutral.
All right, let's go to two more clinical points. How did you learn to control the adrenaline, which was driving that overall visceral response that was creating these symptoms, these physical symptoms that were getting really out of hand, and they were the cause of the situations when you wanted to avoid something, when you were on that date, when you were on that business interaction,
yeah,
whatever, and you,
yeah,
feared being in a closed-in space because you would feel uncomfortable. That was caused by adrenaline. How'd,
right,
you get that under control?
I know it sounds hokey, and I know that there's probably a lot of people thinking out there that this doesn't work, but the breathing part of it, I know it sounds, and I don't know if I ever mastered it. I did some of the tapes and the other stuff, but I think think of it in the simplest terms, just taking a deep breath and composing yourself for that moment, trying to just even today, he's like, no, there's nothing really to be worried about. You're making it is up in your head, or that person's really not thinking that. But it's that deep breath, that moment of composure where you kind of just breathe out all that, the negativity. I know it sounds hokey, and I know it sounds like I'm making it bigger than it is, but just that, I think the breathing technique, or just taking a deep breath.
Okay, well, you know what? You're a smart guy, so I can challenge you. There's two other issues I want to knock home here. I believe that, yes, it was, of course, the actual process of breathing, taking in oxygen,
right,
was important. But I believe in your case that even more importantly was the metaphor of breathing. You're nurturing your natural child mind state, which is the exploration, the process of discovery, the whole action of quarterbacking. What do you think?
You know, I think, you know, in the initial, when we first started, and with the breathing was just crucial to get to that next step, because it was so consuming that, you know, managing the adrenaline in the beginning was overwhelming. And then towards the end, the breathing really wasn't the issue, and doing it really, you know, you might get a little nervous, but it was the quarterback, which, you know, I think, so at the beginning, it was just, I would do whatever that I could do to manage the situation. And then as we got going, recognizing myself, being more positive, giving myself credit, not overanalyzing what somebody else would think, you know, all the positive reinforcements and the nurturing, that ultimately what helped me out and benefited the most. So, I mean, what started out with simple breathing turned into just fully acknowledging and recognizing that this is doable and nurturing myself.
Well, here comes the last clinical issue, which I think was the most important one of all. Do you have any idea what I'm going to say?
Yeah, I do.
What is it?
Well, I would say it was, I think there may be a little bit left over with the girl that I, you might bring up the girl that I was seeing at the time. Outside of that, I don't know.
Okay, well, she symbolized your obsessiveness to nowhere and the struggle with self-esteem, and here comes the punchline. She symbolized your unresolved anger, and I think the key to your success was bringing the anger to a conscious level and then developing a strategy, in our terms, to nurture the natural child mind state with a high dose of internal computer adult mind state logic. And the more that you were in the process of exploring and figuring out how the world works for yourself, the less angry you were as your natural child was developed.
Right. No, I think that just the other day, and to put this in a perspective, and there were some things at work and that I was angry about, and it was eating me up inside a little bit, making me anxious. But, you know, when we started, I probably would have just not ever realized that. Now I said, I know what the problem is. I need to deal with it and confront what the issue is. I don't think that's something that I could have said when we started. I think now I know it. And the anger, it was, you know, dealing with it and knowing that it's sitting there. And you know, as simple as that example from work was, it was, I have to deal with it and, you know, be confident enough to say kind of what I was feeling and thinking, either to that person or in some manner, somewhere, whether it was you or I just acknowledged it. I think we didn't know it at the time, or I didn't know it. But I think as we worked through it and we kept, as you say, just peeling off the layers of it. You know, I had a big step earlier in the year where I had to make that choice that this person wasn't a healthy influence in my life, and I had to take a step away from it. And I think that, you know, when we started, that wouldn't have been possible. And only if I've resolved being angry at this person and mad and but not letting it consume me, is I can walk away from it. So you're not a healthy person in my life, and I need to make those choices. I need to make better choices. So, I fully agree.
Jerry, thank you very much for sharing. I'm sure you'll help a lot of people who will listen to this interview.
Yeah, I think one of the things is that it, when I first started, it was making that first step to getting help. And if there's one thing to pass along, having gone through it and being light years better, it's just that first step's the hardest because you're scared of it. And I remember in our first conversation, you said, well, what should we do now? And that was the first step, the initial consultation. And I think, you know, little did I know that that was the attitude to have throughout the treatment process. And, you know, you from the very beginning put me in that spot of as you say, quarterbacking and being proactive. So I think it's crucial just to take that first step. And if that's one thing I could pass along to people who listen to that, that would be it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.